This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this third day of December, 2024. And tonight my co-host is none other than the fellow that looks, well, looks like Elvis. Style.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. How are you today?
I'm doing all right.
You ready to roll?
Let's do it.
Yeah, you gotta take Big Joe's place now.
I don't know if I can do all that.
Joe rolled off. He just rode right off into the sunset. But we're keeping an eye on tracking him. We'll get him back here from time to time. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
Alrighty, the title of my message was Church Polity and, well, we'll use the word manners. Do you know what polity is?
What is polity?
Polity is church government. And it's also as government and etiquette. Government and etiquette. And a lot of people don't know quite sure what polity or etiquette is. So etiquette's the manners. And polity is church government. In other words, it's the way that God's Word, the Bible, tells us we are to behave ourselves in the house of God. And with the church, no matter where we're at, you know. And so, and we're going to pick it up where we left off in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. You ready? Actually, I think I'm going to jump one verse and go to verse 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. See, back then, once you received Christ as your Savior, you were baptized right away. And today it's not always possible to do that today, but anyhow, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all had things in common. and sold their possession and their goods and parted them to all men, every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with his people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How often do you hear people say, we're going to build this church, right? You know, in other words, the membership. And the Bible said that only that God's the one that does that. God right. adds to the membership. Now here, it's saying that they spend a lot of time together in Bible studies, dining together, communion and fellowship, always making sure that the needs of others were met. Now, here, unfortunately, we must today, often people think of other believers, other saints as often as lesser Christians. I've heard people tell me that they attend a certain church because there are people of their own social status there, people of their own income levels, and that's where they're comfortable. They're comfortable with people, you know, of their own social status and own income levels, and not you know, lesser people. They don't really like to be around low-income people or, you know, people that are impoverished. And, in fact, here, we've seen, and we've, you know, had a situation where, in times, people have left the church because they've looked upon some other people in there as kind of lesser people. In other words, there were some people that were impoverished, or there were some people that had very, very poor people skills. You know, there are people that, have different conditions, like Asperger's or some others. And because of that, people say, you know, I I've had people tell me, Pastor, honestly, if you don't, you got to choose. You've got to either they have to go or I have to go. And when someone says that to me, they've already made the decision for me. Okay, we're not. You don't ever put a person in that position, but you can't think of yourself more highly. The Bible says never to think of yourself more highly than you should. And here again, do you think God makes mistakes?
Not that I know of.
Okay. So now there are people that, boy, they can really test your patience, and that's no doubt about that, okay, with you know, certain conditions and that. But again, we're not to shoot our own, right? We're not to, you know.
Right.
And that's the problem with some people. Again, some people, and again, like I told you, I've had people tell me they attend a certain megachurch because there's people in there that are of a, you know, a higher social status, and that wrong way to attend a church. You attend a church if the church is an activist church, if they're doers of the word, not just hearers only, right?
Right.
You know, that's what the Bible says. And so here, and I've seen situations where these same people say, well, I can't stay here if that person stays. So they go and they find another church. And guess what happens? When they get to the other church, someone says, I can't stay here if they stay. And that's kind of, again, not exactly church etiquette, is it?
Yeah, maybe I'm old-fashioned in this sense, but when I attend or leave a church, it's not because of who is or isn't in the pews, it's because of what is or isn't being preached.
Exactly. You hit on something very important there. Alrighty. You know what? I just got a prayer request here, so let me just stop and take a minute. We have Jim Nelson, who is in the hospital, and his kidneys are not working, and so his wonderful wife, Judy, has asked that we might pray for him So folks out there listening, wherever you be, if you just take a minute and join us here. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold up Jim at this time and just ask, Father God, Lord, that you might just touch him. We know, Lord, all you have to do is say the word to be healed, Father God, and hear again, be a comfort to Judy and the family as they're around, that he might receive a healing, and Lord, and blessing in every area where you could bless him, that he would receive that blessing, and Lord, be a comfort to him and to Judy at this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, now we want to go over to Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12 here, we read, starting with verse 3 through 9. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to. Sounds like something we were just speaking of, huh?
Right.
Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, and let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Well, let's start here. Well, we started with what we just talked about, not to think of yourself more highly than you should. Again, you know, here, you know, we see things differently today, and God really has to look upon this and laugh at some, the behavior of some people that, again, for certain reasons, some people think that they're better than others. Now, there are reasons if you say, well, do you think if you're someone who's pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, if you're in favor of pedophilia, yeah, I am better than you because you are reprobate, okay? But I'm referring here now to people that are professing Christians, and again, according to social status or, you know, according to their job or whatever. And as we go through here, we'll see how Philemon dealt with that himself. So then he says, so we be many and one body in Christ, and everyone members of another, having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Okay, so here, do we have prophecy today?
I mean, we have prophecy in the Bible, right?
We have this called forthtelling. Today, when this was written, you still had foretelling, but today we have forthtelling because we have the completed canon of scriptures, okay? So there aren't any new prophecies being made. The prophecies are here, but we have... now, what happens is the Bible is a living, breathing document, and there's things in the Bible that have been there for thousands of years that we haven't totally, completely understood until we see now as it unfolds before our very eyes, and then things become much clearer. As we see in Daniel 12, verses 3 and 4, where he talks about to close up the book, okay? And today we see the unveiling of the book. It's being unveiled before our very eyes, okay? And then we go to when it says, or minister, let us wait on ministering. Do you know what that means there? Or ministry, let us wait on ministering. Do you know what he's talking about?
Is that to be witnessed to?
No, it's like a deacon. It's just, it's like the job of a deacon, like the job of a deacon. Or then he says that he that teaches on teaching. Now, here you get into something. Teachers are held to a higher standard. Teachers are held to a higher standard. And here now, or he that exhorteth. Now, when I was ordained many years ago, that was on my ordination, the gift that they said was exhortation, that was my gift that I had to exhort people to action. And he that, let him do with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, okay? And so, what do you think he's referring to when he says he that ruleth?
He that ruleth, a church head?
Right, you find the answer in Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. Okay, he's talking about the leaders of the church, okay? Specifically the pastor, the under-shepherd of the local assembly. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, okay? In other words, you know, what we just talked about, there are people that can really, really, really test your patience at time. But when we show mercy to them and not throw them out, not kick the puppy, as they say, but we show mercy, we don't do it saying, woe is me, and look at this is my poor lot in life. I have to show mercy. Oh, I wish it wasn't me. But, you know, and again, like I said, it doesn't say that it's going to be easy anywhere here, does it?
No.
And there's a good reason why it's saying, let you do this with cheerfulness, because there are people that can really test your patience a lot, yeah. And then it says, let love be without dissimulation. Oh, do you know what that word dissimulation means?
Without wavering?
No, it means hypocrisy.
Oh.
Do it without hypocrisy. Now, so here, when we look at all of this, starting out with verse 1, often today you hear, me and my and I deserve better. We have nothing to be proud of, but we have everything to be thankful for, don't we, today. And so we really do have a lot to be thankful for. You know, even in the bad times, even under the Biden regime and the deep state and the communists and all the wickedness, I mean the complete evil wickedness out there, God has kept us there that we can stand and use us to fight back against it, huh?
Yeah, I think that's the, you know, part of the common practice of, you know, the great deceiver, too. There is a lot of bad, and it's usually at the forefront of things. That's what you hear about, but you can't let that distract you from the things that we should be thankful for as well.
Absolutely. Let's go over to Philemon. And I think we'll go to chapter 1 in Philemon. And so we're going to start with verse 8 through 16. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee, to me, whom I have set again, though therefore receive him that is in mine own bowels, whom I have been retained with me, and instead, let me stop here, just give a little story here. See, he's writing this letter to Philemon, and Onesimus was a slave. He was Philemon's slave, and he stole from him and took off from him. He ran into Paul, And Paul led him to the Lord. He got saved. And so now Paul is writing back to Philemon, and let's see if this don't go along with what we've been talking about here tonight, okay? He says, "And what I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel." This is one of the prison, when Paul was, this was Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, that it was, this was taking place. So here he goes and he says, "But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as if it were necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and unto the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put it to my own account. I, Paul, have written with my own hand, and I will repay it, albeit to do not say thee how long owest unto thine even own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. I have confidence in thy obedience. I wrote unto thee knowing that thou wilt be also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I must trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your spirit." So now he's telling, he's writing Philemon and is asking him, look, when he comes back, you know, he's coming back to you to repay you, give you back what he took. But don't treat him like a slave. Now, he's a brother in the Lord. He's a brother. He's a born-again believer like you. So now you two, you know, you're slaves to Christ, but you're brothers. So don't treat him as a slave, but treat him as an equal now. And whatever he doesn't pay, if he owes you more than what he pays, put it on my account, and I'll take care of it. And that's what he's asking him to do. And kind of goes along with what we were talking about before, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think on top of that, too, the fact that he's, because it's coming from first person, he's saying that we are brothers, he is my brother. It reminds me of, are you not your brother's keeper, right? Together in Christ, we are a family.
Yep, absolutely. And so there, that's the point of the whole thing. And I think I'm going to stop right there, and we go to a quick break. And when we come back, boy, we have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, really. So take her away.
Of Mary.
Why,
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
So bring him incense gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him.
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch a-keeping.
All righty, we're back. We have another prayer request real quick that I want to go. Pam has called and asked we pray for her mother Miriam, who took a fall. They both know the Lord. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold Miriam up to you. Lord, I take it she's an elderly lady, and Lord, we just would ask Father God, again, here at this time, and we know that people all across America, whenever we have that much prayer, we know people that you answer prayer, and so we just would ask that you would, again, in this situation, intercede on Marion's behalf, that she might receive a healing and a blessing in every area where she could receive a blessing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, which is the largest pro-life organization in Ohio. And boy, I know I've been a part of it since it started. And the coalition is raising money for placing baby boxes in Ohio. The goal is they're asking to raise $25,000. Your gift will save surrendered newborns. Every year, newborns are abandoned in dumpsters and vacant buildings. Tragically, many of these babies do not survive. But you can help change that for sure. That's right. A compassionate choice for mothers in crisis are baby boxes equipped with state-of-the-art safety features. Baby boxes are safe places where newborns are compassionately surrounded. These baby boxes allow for anonymous and safe surrender of newborns at fire and police stations. The newborns immediately rescued by first responders. Every dollar you donate will fund the placement of these life-saving baby boxes. Give some hope and save. Here you can just go to Impact. The Residents of Ohio is our vision here. And you can go to Right to Life Action Coalition. You can write to Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, Post Office Box 804. That's Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, Post Office Box 804, Chillicothe. That's Chillicothe, Ohio, 45601. And again, that's the Right to Life Action Coalition, Post Office Box 804, Chillicothe, Ohio. And you can just go to the right, where to go? I'm looking here. at my announcement, and the thing just popped off the screen. Where did they go? The website. Looking for the website. Where'd the website go? Well, just go up on there and to the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, and you'll find it, right? I think so. Okay, now, you know, there was actually another announcement that needed to be made, and you know what that one was here, Geauga County Tea Party with a Okay, we're gonna. That was over. Let me do this other one. Here's the other one. Ready? Here's a reminder that tomorrow, that's Wednesday at 5 p.m. Nowaka. Nowaka is it's Ohio's version of Agenda 2030, which is globalism, anti-Christ, anti-American, anti-freedom. They're a part of the deep state. And a reminder that tomorrow at 5 p.m., Nowaka, the deep state, will hold another public indoctrination session at the Federated Church Family Life Center. And that's located at 16349 Chillicothe Road in Chagrin Falls. Please come. It's important for us to stand up. We need to be there to show unity ring signs as Nowaka equals the Chinese Communist Party or anything else you can think of. Nowaka, we don't approve, so and so forth. At 5 p.m. tomorrow evening, headed to a church family life center. What's happening, folks, this announcement was sent to me, and as it comes out on the wording, they don't often spell the words right. And this is off the phone, the voicemail. It's on the voicemail on the phone. But anyhow, that's tomorrow at 5 p.m. And that's called the Family Life Center, located at 16349 Chillicothe Road in Chagrin Falls. That's actually, it looks more like South Russell, Chagrin Falls mailing address. But it's right on Route 306, about a mile north of Route 422, and it's called the Federated Church, which, you know, actually is an apostate church. And here is the Family Life Center. It's called the Family Life Center. So there you go, folks. You want to come out if you want to find out more about Nowaka, which is not a good organization, and we have to expose it. I've been to several of their meetings. They're deep state. Again, we have to fight everywhere they go. They want to get in. Their goal is the deep state to move everyone. Their goals is to move us out of the countryside, to move everybody into a city. They want to expand the city limits from all the major cities out 10 miles all the way around and move everybody into the cities. They want to have apartment buildings at 33 stories high. And these huge, huge, huge complexes where you own nothing, okay? You don't own anything. But here, in order to go out into the countryside is only for the elite, okay? This is where it's a whole part of that whole group that want to depopulate the planet down to a half a billion people, from 8 billion down to half a billion people. And that's what's going to be meeting there tomorrow at that so-called Family Life Center. This is Nowaka. It's Ohio's version of Agenda 2030. And they'll be there. You ought to just come out, everybody, and take a pad of paper with you and take notes and listen very, very carefully to these deep state people. Okay. And with that, got my announcements made, right? Now, we're going to hit on some other things. Did you know style that Trump gave the Middle East over there, he gave them a pretty stark warning about releasing our hostages. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, we saw almost instantly right after the election that he was already trying to broker some kind of peace negotiation between them, and now, again, before he's even into office here in January, he's doing more than the past administration has done the last 4 years to actually get Americans back to America.
They're talking about, yeah, they want to sign now. They want to sign, they want to have peace talks all of a sudden, right? Trump is telling them on January 20th, if the hostages aren't released, it's not going to end well for them, huh? So Hamas is now saying, let's have peace talks, right?
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show, you know, what we've been saying for 4-plus years here is the fact that you can't make the argument that the Democratic Party isn't the party of war. You have one party that wants to rush us as fast as they can into World War III. We have U.S. ballistic missiles being fired off without U.S. permission. We have wars we shouldn't be in, funding we shouldn't be pushing in our troops and countries they shouldn't be in. Meanwhile, the conservatives are trying to actively get us out of war before we're even in office.
Yeah. And so here, speaking of that, what he wants to do, Trump wants to purge the Pentagon of those woke, pro-transvestite, pro-drag queen, woke officers. And, those are the ones that Obama put in there. They're not fit to be in a uniform at all, an American uniform. I know that all of my fellow veterans are just as ashamed as could be of people like Millie and Austin and others there. Now, there's something else that's happening. It's very interesting because I haven't seen this before. Not in a while. Years ago, when Democrats were, when we actually had Democrats, often they would cross the aisle and come over, you know, especially on pro-life issues. But all of us, but that hasn't happened because Nancy Pelosi would slap them around, okay? She would slap them around like a galley slave. If anybody got out of line, Nancy would go after them. But now, all of a sudden, you got this, you got Democrats. You got this Representative Jared Moskowitz, a Democrat. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to be a part of DOGE caucus. He wants to go on there and start cutting the all of the fat out of the government, you know?
Good.
Yeah, it's like paying, you know, like $400 for a hammer they were having. Remember, you had your $300 toilet seats. Just unbelievable amount of money. And of course, Biden just gave $1 billion over to of our tax dollars. He just went over to Africa and gave $1 billion away. Probably don't know where it went, you know. And hundreds of millions more he just allocated for Ukraine for, you know, for the fighting over there. But now, another strange thing. You've heard of Mark Zuckerberg, right?
Right.
Well, guess what? Zuckerberg is saying he wants to join the Trump team now. And he wants to be a big part of the tech program. And, you know, he wants to be a good guy now. What do you think of that?
I mean, I'd hope it's the case. We talked about this a few times with, you know, different people in the administration. I had my reserves about Vivek Ramaswamy, and he's on the Trump team now. And again, I said it when he first was announced that I hope, you know, this is, you know, a Tulsi Gabbard situation where he has truly turned around. Mark Zuckerberg would be a great grab, especially how much influence he has over social media and media in general. But I'm always going to have my reserves about the guy who has been to court on numerous occasions for promoting underage child pornography on the web and promoting harassment of different groups on the web and selling personal information to major corporations.
Well, he says he was forced to do that. He was forced to do that by the intelligence agencies. He had to go along and do what they said. Do you believe that?
I don't doubt it. You know, we've seen different government organizations have their hand in everything. I mean, we can look back to MKUltra even as an example, and where that was a tinfoil hat conspiracy 40 years ago, now it's fact, you know? So I don't doubt by any means that government agencies have had their hands in this, and I mean, I'm sure we'll get to it at some point tonight, but the Hunter Biden laptop stuff and all of his dealings just got pushed under the rug by the federal government.
Back when that whole thing started, I had victims of MKUltra on the radio program here, and they were being drugged and used in these drugs and passed around. There were other things that were taking place where they were trying to make what they call super warriors by using certain drugs where they couldn't feel pain. They would go out and they would, in other words, like on suicide missions and just continue to fight without you know, fear of any kind. And I remember when all that, then I had a friend of mine, they called him Tex. He was used because he had some physical ailments. They told him they wanted to test some new drugs and it would probably help him. And, he was used and put on psychopathic drugs. And it had a really bad effect on him, a very bad effect on him. But anyhow, that all of that was taking place back there, and that was a part of that movement that was taking place back in the 60s. I remember it very, very well.
It's crazy. We can look back at that now and go, oh, that was insane that they were openly testing these drugs on people that weren't, open or that didn't know what was going on. And then we fast forward to 2020, and you look at the vaccine, and people are lining up to take experimental drugs that we don't know what the government's putting in.
Well, let's see here. There's something going on. Well, let me... Do you think Canada's going to become our 51st state?
I was reading that before we got on. It seems like they could be.
And so, Trudeau told Trump, listen, those tariffs would totally, totally crush our economy. Trump says, well, Canada could become our 51st state. That would be a good idea. We have a lot of good people in Canada. There's a lot of patriots in Canada, but they're under a communist government and there with this Trudeau, this guy. And so that would be, I would love to see Canada become a part of the United States, become, the whole thing. And that's where the goal has been to make the American continent, in other words, Mexico, United States, and Canada to become North America, and then, of course, Central America, and then, where Guatemala, Panama, and all those
right.
are, and then South America. So there's been a, that's been the quest for a lot of people is to have all three countries become one America. And that could be very, very beneficial in a lot of ways because all three countries have a lot that could benefit the other two, don't they?
Well, I was going to say, too, I don't know if people really know it, but if I'm not mistaken, Canada has a pretty decent oil field as well. Like, they're a good resource for oil.
Yeah, they are. And they surely have a lot of land, too, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, that would really be good. That way you wouldn't have to have, to go into Canada or to go into Mexico. You wouldn't need a passport or
right.
anything. Of course, you really don't know today. With the Biden regime, it don't seem like you need one, does it?
Right.
All you got to do is say, look, I just want to get in here to sell drugs,
Just want to sell drugs or vote,
Yeah. All right. Now, Musk and Ramaswamy call for ending work from home for federal employees. This isn't going well with the Democrats here. because Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy suggested Donald Trump could require government employees to be in the office. Oh, my gosh. You mean to tell me that they actually want government employees to have to work? In the office 5 days a week is part of an effort to trim the size of the federal workforce. A whole lot of them would say, hey, wait a minute, no, I didn't get into this to work.
Right.
And they would quit. Requiring federal employees to come to the office 5 days a week would result in a wave of voluntary terminations that we would welcome. If federal employees don't want to show up, American taxpayers shouldn't pay for them for the COVID-era privilege of staying home, Musk and Ramaswamy wrote in Wednesday's op-ed on the Wall Street Journal. Trump has tapped both men to lead the newly created Department of Government Efficiency. Here are the two men who have, listen to this, no previous experience in government. That is a plus. Now, they're
I was going to say, that's what we need.
You're not kidding. Suggested Trump would undertake the large-scale firings and relocate government agencies outside of Washington. That's exactly what they need to do. The problem of it is to get them out, to get these, you know, different federal agencies out where what they call flyover land, where they actually meet people that are not of the elite Washington, D.C. corrupt mindset, huh?
Right. I mean,
yeah.
2016, Trump's first presidency, I was not able to vote. I was not legal age to vote yet. And the one thing that I knew going into that election was the one thing above anything else that Trump had going for him was the fact that he wasn't a politician. And that should win hundreds of thousands of votes right there. We need more people that aren't politicians because clearly we see the corruption that's built. And I know the whole concept of drain the swamp was the whole thing initially, but that's what it is. It is, you know, it's no longer left or right for the most part. It's corrupt politicians versus the people.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And we really need to do something with them. Okay. And here's an article. I can't use the word here. This is the way out of, it's a word out of hand for Marjorie Taylor Greene. She lays out DOGE plan to fire government employees. So she's put on that committee now, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Remember what the Democrats did. They took her off of all the committees. They relieved her so she couldn't do anything, right? And so now I come from a business background and have successfully run construction company my entire adult life. In the private sector, if you're not doing a good job, you get fired, she wrote there. But for some reason, in government, bad employees, whether they're failing to do the job they're hired to do or working in roles that are no longer needed, never get fired. This is incredibly unfair to the hardworking taxpayers of our country, and it's about to change. I can't wait to get to work, she added. Good for her.
Good, yeah. You know, you brought up cutting the working from home positions as a means to get people to voluntarily step down. I think that's a great plan, and a backup for that plan would be to not only is our tax dollars paying the salaries of these people, our tax dollars are paying for the infrastructure that these people are supposed to be working in. So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword there of, you know, if not one, then the other. If not one of, hey, well, our tax dollars are paying your salary, then, hey, we don't need these government buildings, right? Let's do something else with those.
Well, absolutely. They're sitting there. Many of them are sitting there empty, right? And here's the other thing. AOC, remember Alexandria Cortez?
Yeah.
She says that it's just common sense that if people don't want to work, they shouldn't have to, and the people that want to work should be willing to support those that don't want to work. And she calls that common sense. What do you think that sense is common?
No, that's another C word. That's called communism.
Yep. There you go.
And the thing is, people that don't want to work don't have to work. You just can't expect to live the same life as someone that does.
Right. So here, this was an article I talked about a little bit earlier. How Trump presidency could lead to a purge at the Pentagon. Oh, Lord, I hope so, right?
Let's do it.
And during his campaign for re-election, Donald Trump vowed to purge the military of the so-called woke generals. Now that he is president-elect, the question in the halls of the Pentagon is whether he would go much further, okay? Trump is expected to have a far darker view of his military leaders in his second term after facing Pentagon resistance over everything from his skepticism toward NATO and his readiness to deploy troops to quell protest in the U.S. streets. Of course, you know, again, we had... Remember what Obama did. Obama purged 11 four-star generals. These were men of real generals. These were real generals, men who were patriots, God and country. And what did he do? He put in bootlickers.
Yep.
Okay. He goes on to say here, Trump's former U.S. generals and defense secretaries are among the fierce critics, some branding him as a fascist and declaring him unfit for office. Agreed. Trump has suggested that his former chairman of Joint Chief of Staff, Mark Milley, should be executed for treason. I don't have a problem with that, okay? At least charged treason. Milley committed high treason. Do you remember what he did? He told his counterpart in China, if Trump gives us the order or gives me an order to...
Said he won't follow it.
Right. And not only that, he said, we will let you know. He should be charged with treason. He's scared now. In fact, he's been saying he's afraid that he will be court-martialed if Trump gets back in. I hope he is court-martialed, and so does a whole lot of other veterans out there and present military people.
Yeah, but
current and former... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, above all else, that we need to restore law to the country. We have people that get away with treason. We have innocent people locked up from January 6th. Meanwhile, we have actual criminal charges being pardoned because of nepotism. You know, we are completely backwards in the term of justice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know that myself and others, when we were in, we would not obey the orders of someone like Milley. We would recognize right away, this guy is illegitimate. He is, he is a traitor. And so, current and former U.S. officials say Trump will prioritize loyalty in his second term and root out military officers and career civil servants he perceives to be disloyal. I hope he does. He will destroy the Department of Defense. Frankly, he will go in and will dismiss generals who stand up for the Constitution. That's a lie. Okay, that's in this article here. You know what? The interesting thing in this article here comes from they never signed their name to it. The editors never signed their name to their articles. Anyhow, we're coming up to a break, and when we come back from the break, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do something we haven't done in a long time. We're going to open the phone lines early and take calls. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we haven't done that in quite a while. So, are you going to give us a countdown? Because we're probably coming up on like the 30 seconds.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds right now.
There you go. And then we get down to 10. We'll do that countdown, okay?
All right, well, you got 10 more seconds till 10 more seconds because we're at 20 now.
All right. When you start, at 10, I'll start with 1 and we'll finish at the same time, all right?
All right, 10.
One,
nine,
two,
eight,
three,
seven,
four,
six,
five,
six,
four, seven,
three,
eight,
two,
nine,
one,
zero.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program,
You can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.